Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Can we pray that God would give us revelation of faith tonight? I want you to specifically say this out loud in your prayer when we pray in just a moment. I want you to say this: Lord, give me revelation of faith. I want you to say that out loud while we pray for the next 30 seconds to 1 minute. Can we do that? Father, I thank you for your presence that we feel here. I thank you for the worship that this team has ushered us into your presence, into your throne room. But Lord, I'm asking now that you would give us revelation and understanding of your word in faith tonight. I want to have great faith, for your word wants me to have great faith for you, Lord. I want to believe what you want me to believe tonight. Give me great revelation and understanding. Anoint my lips and anoint my mind that I might speak your word in the way that you would have me tonight. In the name of Jesus, I give you all the glory and all the honor, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Can be seated, but I hope it's not for long. I'm here. I'm on fire tonight, and not just for a pride reason, but I'm here to declare that God wants to take this church to a new dimension in faith. I don't really have a title tonight, other than I want your faith to be increased tonight. Our faith must be increased in these last days, because we're going to see greater things than we've ever seen before. We're going to do greater things than we've ever seen before. Does someone believe that? That God is going to use you in this last days greater than he's ever used you before. Hallelujah. I got my work cut out for me. I can feel it. But that's okay, because God has something great for us tonight. I don't know if I've used this illustration here before, but it's a good one, so I'm going to use it again if I have. How many wants $100? Come on, who wants $100 bill? My wallet is there, but there's not $100 bill in it. There might be a 20. Everybody would want $100 bill. Now, if I said, if you'll give me $1, I'll give you $100, who would do that? Why would we be willing to do that? The reason why is because your dollar in value, you understand that dollar and what it's worth compared to the $100 that I would give you in return for your $1 bill. Why I'm telling you this illustration is because we need to understand that God wants us to give him our $1 bill in return for $100 bill. I'm not really talking about physical money now. I'm talking about our life. I'm talking about your ministry. I'm talking about what God wants to do with you. I'm talking about your sins. I'm talking about your fears and failures. He wants to take your $1, and he wants to give you more in return. As I prayed for revelation about this, the way that God spoke to me, this specific illustration, God began to deal with me about why we can't give him $1. If you'll just think for just a moment, instead of thinking of it as a dollar bill, as money, think of it as faith. $1 worth of faith for $100 worth of faith. If you think about it in the natural, it's a no-brainer. Yes, I'll give you my $1 for $100, because you know what you can do with it. But if you translate that into faith, the reason we can't give God our $1 worth of faith is because we don't value God as much as we value us. And you value that $1 more than what He can give us in return. I'm trying to increase our faith tonight. I'm trying to get you to another dimension of faith, because when you understand that your $1, it might not seem like much. You can't do much with $1 today. You can't even hardly buy a candy bar or an ice cream with $1. But if you'll just understand, if you can give God your little bit, the nothing that you might have, He can give you much more in return. In Matthew chapter 18, He speaks to His disciples and says that you should become as a child. And they had asked Him, who's the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus said, the children are. You should become as a child. And I begin to pray about that. Why did He want us to become like a child? The truth is because they have an imagination. They can take a little toy car and they can play on the pew, or they can play at home, and that little toy car can fly and it can shoot missiles and it can do a bunch of different things, because they'll begin to imagine what that car can do. That's faith. A child can take this water bottle and they could pretend it's a maraca. They can make jokes out of it, and they have TikToks. I hope that's something most people don't do, but they have jokes where you can put a penny in the bottle and you can squirt it in someone's face. Only kids come up with stuff like that. Because they have an imagination. We have to imagine what God can do for us. You have to have an imagination what His blood can do in your life. See, His blood can erase every sin, but until you start imagining His blood washing away your sin, you can't accept it. You have to accept that His blood can take away all the shame. You have to imagine it erasing all the fears and all your failures. And when you do that, you can walk in a newness of life. But you have to have that imagination. It's time to go to another dimension in your faith. We are in the last days. I can't stress it enough. While I was in California, the pastor that dedicated me as a baby, he passed away. He was 99 and a half years old. He was the last founding member of the United Pentecostal Church in the merger back in 1948, I think, or 40 something. But he was the last founding member that passed away at 99 and a half. And he told me this last thing that he could speak. He had several strokes. He could not speak very clearly. Most of the time his daughters had to speak for him. But he was able to speak these words very clearly. And his daughters were shocked as he spoke these words to me. He said, we are in the very last of the last days, and you need to know Him. You need to know Him. And so my goal, my passion for these last days is that I would know Him better than I've ever known Him before. That means I must have greater faith than I've ever had before. As I have to hurry up, I'm running out of time. I got so much ground to cover. At the beginning of this year, as we were expecting a child, back in December, I prayed, Lord, I don't know what will take place when the baby comes. It's our first child, and we really don't know what to expect other than what people have told us. And sometimes it goes smooth and sometimes it doesn't. So we really don't know what to expect. And I said, Lord, I would like to have 2 months of bills paid before the baby comes. That's speaking faith. And then the Lord spoke to me as I prayed for the year 2021. Lord, what would you have me speak to your church? Not just one congregation, but the church as I travel from all across this country in 2021. What would you have me say to the church? And he spoke to me and he said, I want you to preach to my people that it is a year of great faith. I told the Lord, I cannot preach that this is a year of great faith if I don't possess great faith. So I spoke in faith. And I said, Lord, instead of having 2 months of bills paid, I believe you'll give us 6 months of bills paid. Now that's faith. How many's ever paid your bills 6 months in advance? Not very many of us. So I spoke this great faith, and I told my wife, hey, we're going to believe for this. And by January, we had 2 months of bills paid. And we were praising the Lord, but that wasn't what I spoke. It was 2 weeks after January 1st, we were going to a routine doctor visit just to check up on the baby. And my wife had been diagnosed with gestational diabetes from the pregnancy, and they said it would get worse. And most likely, since you have that, you're most likely going to get preeclampsia, which is an extreme high blood pressure, and you can have strokes from that. And so it can do a lot of damage to your body. And they said, if this happens, we're going to have to take the baby out early. And so we get to the hospital, and there was nothing special about that day other than that it was another day of COVID, and they said, you can't come in. I had gone into every visit, every routine doctor visit through the whole year of COVID, and then this year, sorry, you can't come in. I was upset, Pastor. My wife was upset. And I stomped my way out to the car. Stupid doctors. I don't like those nurses. Actually, I probably said something worse. Lord, forgive me. If you're a nurse, forgive me. As I stomped out to the car, my wife and I were just communicating through text message. And she messaged me about 15, 20 minutes into the appointment. She said, they're going to have to keep me. My blood pressure's a little high. And they said, most likely it's because you're upset your husband's not here. And I was like, good. I'm upset too, and my blood pressure's probably high. But I said, hey, we're hungry, so hurry up. About 30 minutes later, I'm messaging her, you know, what's going on? Anything new? Has it come down? No, they just said they have to call the doctor. It's not getting any better. And so the doctor told us if this happens, they're going to have to take the baby. So this is all going through my mind. Okay, it's not getting better. They're calling the doctor. What's going to happen? And I'm not there. And I'm dyslexic. So this is not what the next text said, but it's what I read. It's what my brain saw. And so the next text message, as my wife texts me, it said, the baby is coming. And that's not what it said, but that's what I read. And so as I read that, my brain said, I have to get into that hospital and I'm going to knock a security guard out if I have to do it. I'll go to jail, whatever I have to do. I will be there when my baby is born. But at that very moment, I get another text message from an unknown number that's not listed in my phone. And the number that texts me said this, you don't know who I am. My name is Pastor So-and-so. I pastor this church here in Wisconsin. You don't know who I am, but I've been praying and God gave me your name. And I looked you up on the United Pentecostal Church International Evangelist website and I found your phone number. And my message for you is it's going to be okay. In the very moment, I thought it might not be okay. But to tell you the truth, I thought it was a scam. Because at the end of that, it said, can I have your address? And I thought someone had looked at my Facebook page and said, oh, he's an evangelist. He's with the United Pentecostal Church International. I'm going to text him. Can I have his information? I thought this was a whole scam. They do it on Facebook all the time. People from India asking for money. Some of you know. I thought this was what's happening, but I looked him up and he was a real pastor. And so I said, okay, here's my address. And I left it at that. And I got excited because I told my wife, hey, it's going to be okay. I don't care if the baby's about to come. It's going to be okay. But 2 weeks after that, I get a letter in the mail from this pastor. And in that letter, there's a check that pays our bills for 6 months. I did not tell him. I did not tell him how much I had spoke to the Lord. I did not tell him that I spoke in faith that I would have 6 months of bills paid. He wouldn't even know how much to send me. But God had spoken to him and given him a number and given him a message for me. And I'm telling you, this year is a year of great faith. If you will speak great faith in your family, if you'll speak great faith in this church, if you'll speak great faith over your job, God is going to honor what you say in his name. I want to be in a place with the Lord that He honors what I say in His name. He didn't have to tell me to say that. He honored it because I said that. That's where I want to be. That's the dimension of faith He wants the church to operate in this year of 2021. He wants to honor what you say. You need to have enough faith to say, I might not have much, but He will honor what I say in His name. It's a year of great faith. May I have probably 2 hours of testimonies I'm about to tell you, but I'm not going to do that for your sake tonight. But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 that He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. You can't ask too much. You can't think too big. And here's what it says. According to the power that works in us, in you, you have power inside of you. It's the Holy Ghost. And He wants to honor the authority that works in you. But you must speak. Some of you need to speak what you want to see the Lord do in your life. This was not in my message, and I actually just told the Lord, wherever you put it, that's where it's going to be. So I believe this is here just for the right moment. But He told me to talk about Philip. In Acts chapter 8, how many's ever prayed this prayer? Lord, use me. Just lift your hand. If you've ever prayed that prayer, Lord, use me. Brother Stone King, a great evangelist within our organization, he doesn't travel much now because of his age, but God brought him back to life. But this is what he used to say. He said, if you pray that God uses you, then don't be upset when you feel used. But Philip, I can imagine in Acts chapter 8, Philip praying these type of prayers. Lord, send me. Lord, use me. I want you to do something with my life. And this is what happened. An angel appeared to him. The Lord appeared to him and said, I want you to go to a desert place. Come on now, Lord. I wanted you to use me. I wanted you to send me. What's in the desert? There's nothing there. The truth is, when you ask the Lord to send you and use you, He might send you to a desert place. Well, it's dry there. There's nothing that grows there. There's not much there. It doesn't matter what you think's there. Because Philip, he said, yes, Lord, I'll go to the desert place. And on his way to the desert place, as he's walking, there's a man on a chariot. We call him the Ethiopian eunuch. And it says that he was the treasurer of the queen. He was the guardian of the queen's treasure. Man, what a job. What a person to reach. You might feel like you'll never reach anyone special. You might feel like you can't reach a dignitary, or you might never reach some Hollywood movie star. You would never have that type of influence in someone's life. Let me tell you, if you pray, Lord, use me, send me, God might open up a door for you to go into a desert place. And in that desert place, there just might be the mayor of Cleveland. There might be some official that's in this city that you need to influence. There might be a job opening that you might get in contact with the CEO, and he might say, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to open up a job opportunity for you. You don't deserve it. You don't have the skill set for it. But somehow we ended up in the desert place together. So Philip, as he begins to hop in this chariot with this Ethiopian eunuch, and he begins to explain the word that he's reading, they come up on this little oasis, and they say, hey, there's some water here in the desert. What keeps me from getting baptized? He had revelation, and I'm really not telling it for that purpose. I'm here to tell you this and increase your faith, because here's what really happened. God said, I want you to go to a desert place, but really He was saying, I'm sending you to an oasis. What you feel is a nowhere land. What you feel might be dry and desert land. What you need to understand is God's sending you there because there's going to be an oasis that springs up, and He's placing you there where nobody else is. Nobody else has dared gone to that place, but He's going to open up a door for you to go to that place. You just need to say, Lord, I will. In the last month, while I was in California, I was in there in California a little over a month because I stayed for that funeral for that pastor. In that last time that I was there, there were 9 people that received the gift of the Holy Ghost. 10 people were baptized in Jesus' name. There were 100 miracles that took place. 20 people were healed of back pain. One woman was healed of colon cancer. There was a couple, I don't normally start a message off with this, but that service, particular service, I had told our testimony of trying to have kids, and we had no specific reason why we couldn't have children. There's nothing wrong with us, and I kind of explained all this, and I said, if you're wanting to have kids and it hasn't happened yet, it's time to speak in some faith. And I left it at that, and I went on with my preaching, and it was a great service, and I'm going to tell some more testimonies in just a moment. But I got a message from a young man in the church about a day later. He said, I just want to tell you, we have been trying to have children, and we don't know why it hasn't happened yet. And he said that I haven't even prayed about it before. But he said, when you told us to pray, he said, I started speaking in faith during that service. And it was the first time we ever did that. By the end of us being in California, I got a message from that same man. He said, I just have to tell you, we're pregnant. Now, some people can discount that and say, oh, well, it's natural. They were probably already pregnant, and now they just found out. But here's what I'm here to tell you about that and that type of thinking, is if you understand what it takes to create a baby, there's multiple ways that baby can not grow. It cannot get stuck to the wall. I don't even know all the terminology for it, but it can get stuck in tubes and all kinds of things. And that baby it won't live and it will die. And if it doesn't attach to where it needs to, it will just die. There's so many different reasons why someone wouldn't receive a baby that way. And so this is what you need to understand. God will make a way when you begin to speak in faith. In that same service, there was a man, he was creeped up in the corner. I don't know if he was trying to hide or not, but I'll find you. So he was real squeezed tight in the corner, and I went up to him. I said, what do you need? He said, I have this business that I can't do it anymore. He said, I need to sell this business. It's just causing me all types of problems. I said, how much do you want to sell it for? He said, I want to sell it for $800,000. I said, done. I said, we're going to speak in faith, and you're going to have that business sold this week. We spoke in faith, and we left it at that. And I was just expecting one day I'd get a call from the pastor that said, hey, brother so-and-so told me you prayed with him, and it happened. I was just waiting for a call like that. But it was a week later, I was preaching at this other church. It was in that same area, but not the same church. And that man came walking in the back of the church, and I thought it was kind of weird because that's not his home church. But there was another man in that same church, in the church I was preaching in that day, that he had a business and he wanted to sell it. And I had told him, hey, just last week I prayed that someone would sell their business for $8,000, and I'm waiting to hear that testimony, and we're going to pray for your business, and it's going to sell for whatever you wanted it to sell for. And so that man, when he came walking in, by the end of the service, I didn't get to talk to him before service, by the end of the service, somehow those two men had found each other and were talking. And I went up to them while they were talking together. I said, hey, this is the man I was telling you about. We spoke in faith that his business would sell for $800,000. He said, hey, yeah, that's the reason I'm here. This week I was on a Zoom call and someone offered me money to buy my business. Someone's not getting it yet. You need to speak in faith, and you need to give it a deadline. You just need to imagine a time. Hey, Lord, you haven't told me this specifically, but I'm going to speak today. I'm going to speak tomorrow that it's going to happen. This week, I'm going to receive what I'm talking about. You need to start speaking in that level of faith. There was another woman, not in that church, but while I was in California, she was a little Asian lady. She was sitting all the way in the back, and I said, oh, I'm going to go talk to her. So I found her, and I said, what do you need from the Lord? She said, I just need a relationship with my daughter. There's some things that when she was younger that I did, and it just ruined our relationship. I said, you're going to receive a call this week from your daughter, and your relationship's going to get better. I went to that church, and 1 week later, I went up to her. I said, hey, I want to know, is your relationship getting any better? Have you talked to your daughter? She said, yes, it's getting better and better every day. At the beginning of this year, I preached at a church, and there was a lady. She came right up to the front. I asked her, "What do you need?" She said, "My daughter is a drug addict. I'm raising her children. I haven't seen her for 9 months. I haven't heard from her. I don't even know if she's alive." She said, "All I want to know is that she's okay. All I do, I don't care if it's through a letter, an email, a text message, in person. I don't care if someone comes on her behalf and tells me that she's okay. She just wants to know that her daughter's okay." I said, "Okay, we're going to speak in faith. This is a year of great faith. We're going to speak in faith. This week, you're going to hear from your daughter, and she's, your relationship's going to get better." And so, as I didn't go back to that church for 1 month, 1 month later, I went back to that church. She came running up to me. She said, "Brother Solomon, you're not going to believe this, but that week, my daughter called me and just to tell me, 'It's okay, Mom, I'm here. I love you, Mom.'" She began to have that relationship again. And this is what she said: "Next time you come, she's going to be sitting on the pew next to me." That's what faith will do. I spoke the faith that she would hear from her daughter that week. But now she's telling me, "Next time you come, she will be on the pew next to me." Now, I haven't been to that church since. Maybe it's because we're waiting for the miracle to happen. Because the next time I go, I believe with her that I'm going to see her daughter with her. If I don't preach at that church for as long as it takes, I know that miracle's going to take place. That's a whole level of faith. While I was there in California... Man, I'm running out of time. Who's playing keys tonight? Brother Nick, you can come. While I was there, there was a man. It was the third service I had preached at this church. He had come up to the front. He was very scruffy looking. Looked like he had been through a lot. I went up to him. I said, "What do you need from the Lord?" He said, "I need to get rid of my anger." He said, "I'm angry and I need to be set free from my anger." I said, "Done." I said, "We're going to speak in faith right now that your anger will be gone." And you know what happened? In the moment that we prayed for him, he began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave him the utterance for the very first time. And God took away his anger and replaced it with joy unspeakable, with rivers of living water flowing through him, with a peace that passes all understanding. In that moment, he was transformed by the renewing of his mind. So we kept praying with him, and we begin to speak some things over his family and over his life. And what I didn't know at the time is his girlfriend that he was living with said, "If you go to that church and you get baptized in Jesus' name, I'm going to leave you." And he went anyways. And he got the Holy Ghost. And he told Pastor, "On Sunday, will you baptize me in Jesus' name?" Knowing that when he got home, his girlfriend was going to leave him. I did not know this, any of this, but the pastor called me up 2 days later, or actually 1 day later. That was a Thursday night. On Friday night, or it was Saturday morning, the pastor contacted me. But Friday night, that girlfriend, she had a dream. And in that dream, there was a man that came to her and said, "You will be baptized with your boyfriend on Sunday." And she called up the pastor on Saturday and said, "Pastor, when my boyfriend comes to church and gets baptized, I want to be baptized too." The reason I'm telling that story is because some of you have been in opposition with family. Some of you have been in opposition with coworkers and your boss. Some of you have been in opposition with different situations. And I'm here today to tell you, you can speak some faith and God can give them a dream. That hardened heart can become soft overnight if you'll believe him for it. Come on, someone needs to hear that right now. You can pray a prayer tonight. You can speak in faith tonight, and by tomorrow morning, your spouse, your children, it does, I don't know who it is, but that heart that has been hard, that it seems like there's been no hope. It could be a boss that's been giving you fits, that's been giving you problems, that's been making your life so miserable, you've been wanting to quit that job. I don't know what it is, but you can speak in prayer tonight, in faith, and God can soften the heart of that boss and say, you know what? I'm sorry for treating you this way. I'm going to give you a raise on top of all of this for staying here. He can speak to your spouse and say, I'm sorry for how I've been acting. I'm going to start going to church with you. It could be softening the hearts of your children, and they can call you up and say, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry for the way I've been acting. God can do that in just one moment, but someone needs to speak the faith tonight. Let's stand. Second Kings chapter 4, verse 1. I'm sorry if I'm going a little long tonight. Second Kings 4 and verse 1. It says, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? The man of God speaks to this woman. The woman said, I don't know what to do. I'm in debt and I have nothing to pay it. I don't know what we're going to do. Would you do something for me? And the man of God said, yeah, let me supply the resources. No, that's not what he said. He said, what do you have in your house? The miracle will come from what you have. Some of you haven't got that yet. The miracle that you're going to receive tonight is going to come from what you have right now. Here's what I mean. It says, and she said to Elisha, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. It was so invaluable to her, she called it nothing. But this is what the man of God said. Go borrow vessels. It could be said this way. I have nothing in my house but a jar of oil. And the prophet said, that's enough. That's enough. You have nothing in your house but a jar. That's enough. So the question I have for you right now, what do you have that you say is nothing? What in your life is worth nothing? Because that's what God wants tonight. What you feel is dead. What you feel has no value. That's all that God's reaching for tonight. That's what God wants to use your faith for tonight. I have nothing in my house but a jar of oil. God wants to use your nothing. At the end of this verse, in verse 6, it says this, now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is no other vessel. So the oil ceased. Now, I'm not adding context here, Pastor, but it's a principle we need to understand. Oil in Scripture is a typology of the Holy Ghost, of the Spirit. When there is not an empty vessel to fill, the Spirit will not flow. If we have a church service where there's no empty vessels, there's no move of God. The Holy Ghost will not flow. It says the oil will cease. The Spirit will cease. if there's no empty vessel. So exactly what do I have to give the Lord tonight? Nothing. He wants you to give Him your nothing so He can fill it with something. You feel like you have no value. That young person right now, if you're listening to me, young man, young woman, you might feel like you have nothing to offer. You don't have very many talents. You don't have any abilities. You don't feel like you can pray for the sick and recover. You don't feel like you can do anything great for the Lord. Let me tell you, if you have nothing, that's enough for God to do the miraculous. Come on, young man. Come on, young woman. If you'll just have enough faith tonight to say, Lord, I don't have any talents, I don't have any abilities, but I do have some faith for you to do something in me. And when I have that faith, I believe you're going to do something great in my life.